The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Deep space, dark secrets. Emma Tinson, deep space, dark secrets. Have you availed yourself of the chance to actually see The Drift as yet?
I haven't seen the full movie, but I've seen the trailer and it looks pretty good. Hey. I'm impressed.
Jessica Ward, welcome back to the programme.
Hello, Ellie.
Have you managed to avail yourself of the fabulous experience that is 96 minutes or thereabouts of sheer unmitigated magic called The Drift?
I haven't yet.
Sue Royce and Nick Elliott, and indeed Kat, welcome to the show, by the way. Good to see you.
Hi, Alex.
Just come out of a wonderful sort of sound and Nick's vision thing. Have an excuse because I didn't send the link. But who is sitting in the corner there with his own microphone? Also, it's Darren Scales, the director of The Drift. How are you, Darren?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Excellent. Welcome to your first ever Midweek Drive.
Thanks.
Not quite. Okay, on to Cameron Tilbury. I did actually email you a connection to The Drift, but I suspect you would have thought, no, that's some sort of science fiction stuff. Yeah. I can't cope with that, you know, not at this particular time. I've got to deal with the fallout from a tour that got halfway to Belfast and then had to stop, which is astounding. And very sad, actually, because it was, you know, I saw that it came through. We'll explain and put the flesh on the bones of that in a few moments, but your role is not only to formally welcome Darren Scales, because he's the debut co-presenter today. That means actually the initiation ceremony can go full force for you yourself, Darren. And being ex-RIF, you know what initiation ceremonies could entail.
Yes, I'm holding my eyebrows right now before they get shaved off.
And the way
we actually did that to a guy, we shaved off his eyebrows for we paid him $25 an eyebrow.
That's it. Yeah, you do one for free.
You forget that eyebrows are like. So he worked outside and he just kept sweating into his eyes all day. It drove him nuts. So.
There's a reason that the good Lord, or indeed evolution, or possibly both, I don't want to offend any religions here, particularly as we're just heading out into Holy Week and so on, eyebrows are there for a reason, quite simply. To when you perspire, when you glow, to actually stop the water trickling all the way into your eyes and stinging with all the sort of salt and scenarios and that. It's critical.
And it also prevents you from walking around just looking really surprised all the time.
Yeah. Very true. After all, there's only so much Roger Moore as the saint that you can actually do with the quizzical eyebrow being raised, isn't there? Anyway, just remind us of the artist we've actually got online for your good self today, Nick, so I can actually find the system from Mr. Computer, because I'm fairly sure that they're actually in here. It's just a case of you need to remind me before you do the full introduction. Yeah. So the artist is?
The Cheaters.
Of course, The Cheaters. And they're singing about?
They're singing about, let me just scroll down here.
It's all right. The Cheaters are there.
Wait, no.
Don't worry. You can return to the script now. I was only kidding because after all, you know, we're talking about the cheetahs. They're not a group of cats from Africa. It's a different kind of cheetah. Okay, so all's well. Cameron, the floor.
There's the way we say it and the way you say it.
Oh, bless. You know, Canada, you know, Nashville. It's amazing. Over to you, Cameron.
The Cheaters, as we've said, they come from Maryland. They are Jason Morton and Brett Wilmer. And they've got really tight harmonies. They brought this to country music because we're famous for that kind of stuff. And they've opened for Lynyrd Skynyrd, Kid Rock, Eric Church, Shooter Jennings, and a whole bunch of others. They entered a strange way they got to releasing their song. They entered a contest, and they were handpicked by Slash, and being the only band picked by Paul McCartney's manager to represent the U.S. in a Lithuanian music festival. So they've already played with a bunch of legends. They can rock out on guitar like Skynyrd, but then they can do some really cool stuff like Eric Church. They're really tight. I think you're going to like it. They've got a brand new EP out called Waiting On Right Now. You can find that on iTunes and other online retailers. This is the very first single that they sent to radio. Here's And She Got Away.
She's turned all the way out of way about her, babe.
Uh, And it's nice to know through the social medium of Facebook, Ilana Raine is giving us a live radio hello from the Mojave Desert, where she'll be connecting with us hopefully in a matter of moments from now. That's exciting, isn't it, Cameron?
It is.
Yeah, exactly. Satellite link. I can tell you. Darren, we need to ask you now, what did you make of She Got Away by the Cheetahs?
Well, I was quite apprehensive coming here today, but I'd say that's kind of sort of laid me back a little bit, yeah. Chilling out, sort of swaying slightly as I was going along, a bit of a... Just get my 10-gallon hat on, I'll be sorted.
10-gallon hat. What a wonderful sort of image and rationale that is in so many other delightful ways. Okay, let's move to Nick Elliott. Nick, the Cheetahs.
I liked it. Good track.
Likely to be featuring in a future upcoming Sound and Nick's Vision.
Oh, could be.
I tell you, next week, Cameron, next week you get to hear, after the midweek drive at 7 o'clock, because that's what Ed Wellman has promised, Sound and Nick's Vision for March. And it's a cracker, isn't it?
It is.
It's a full-length cracker. Sue Royce, in terms of your own particular experience, what did you make of the Cheetahs?
Well, you know, I've got a bit of a thing about the sort of guitar riffy type things, and it was real American sounding, if you don't mind me saying, Cameron, but it's really nice. It's very easy listening. I liked it.
We're quite proud of it being American sounding.
Yeah. Well, stands to reason, doesn't it?
Jessica Ward, from the perspective of the Isle of Man and indeed New Zealand, what did you make of the tune?
I thought it was great. Quite laid back and very country-like. And it was really nice.
Yeah. Excellent. And Kat?
Oh, it was wonderful, wasn't it? I've just put down my iPhone. Actually, I was swaying with it.
Really?
The light was on. I was chilling there.
Thankfully,
lovely.
She doesn't have a cigarette lighter. Otherwise, it would not only be illegal, she'd be sent out
safety,
of the whole thing.
Exactly. You know?
It's very, very important. And Emma Tinson.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought it was really chilled, mellow, nice, relaxing kind of, but nice melody as well. So it was really good.
It's a winner, quite clearly, as indeed is Julie C. Myers. Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Beyond interesting, and the other words you used. Mm-hmm.
And are you back with us again next week?
As long as I'm invited. I'll be...
Would you like to hear Phil Leonis's latest incarnation of the latest jingle we've put together for a couple of our team? You should say yes, Cameron. We seem to be a bit slow on the uptake today, Cameron. Come on, get with the program, my boy. Get with the program. We take that as a yes.
Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. I could tell you their superhero aliases, but that would mean curtains for the free world.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you? Got someone to blame. You say one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leaves you, baby.
To the Joshua Tree without featuring a little touch of U2, even though it's from a different album. That was one. And over to another one signifier in every sense of the word, ever since we first encountered her after that superlative, fantastic narrative, which was We Are All Cylons. We, of course, are referring to whom, Jessica Ward? Who could we be referring to? Which wonderful soul could be up next for the show?
It's
Ilana Raine.
Ilana
Raine, exactly. Ilana, welcome to us from the Mojave Desert, we gather.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Hi, everyone in the studio. That's great. I'm in 29 Palms in the Mojave Desert.
So the photograph you just put on Twitter, is that a shot from your room at present? Are we sharing the sort of room that's actually up there? I just wanted to, you know, get a sense of the surroundings here in terms of the spirituality and, of course, the neon signs.
Yeah, that's right. I went for an interior this morning because I missed sunrise by about 10 minutes, and it's all just blasted out already in the sun. So, yeah, I you know, these places that I come, I'm here with my co-writer, Brian Smith, and, you know, we're in these extremely remote houses in the desert to work and write without distraction. And, you know, what I'm realizing is, you know, all these places we come to, people that live here in the desert, they have these objects and old cars and houses that are from past time periods, but it's like they're stepped outside of time, these people, and they don't fall into the same category of how we all process time in our daily life. So that's one of the reasons I find it incredibly relaxing and easy to focus and work really hard without these distractions in this desert. So that's why I keep coming back here.
Ilana,
happy to share that with you.
You'll be pleased to know that as well as David J. Howe from Telos Publications, Penny Evans, hello Penny, Jean Bruce Scott, and a range of other things, liking the fact that Phil Linus is going to be on a little less than an hour from now. He's also just put a little Facebook update saying Ilana Rain is on now, capital N-O-W, live from Joshua Tree, a brilliant filmmaker and philosopher who loves to kick. So tell me about the
kicking. Phil wrote that? What a sweetheart. Well, you know, Phil made me a great dinner the other night of spaghetti with a cup of rum on the side.
Certainly spaghetti with a cup of rum on the side. Nick Elliott, in your rock star world, spaghetti and rum, do those two go together?
Yeah, I think it could work for me, man.
That's my
LA
life, Alex. That's LA. That's like fast time compared to where I am now.
Yeah, well, it's the whole region. Darren Scales, filmmaker extraordinaire, and if you haven't already caught the drift, because it's relatively easy to actually do, Ilana, you must do so. In fact, I'm pushing very solidly for the drift to be on probably Sci-Fi London 2015. Darren, Ilana's a fantastic filmmaker, but share with us and the listener what the drift is all about and why I'm holding in my hand a series of postcards, including this wonderful one from yourself. Please find enclosed for your kind consideration The Drift, a feature-length movie produced as a concept for further development. Share with us.
Well, The Drift is a movie that we've made. It's 100 minutes long. We made it for a tiny budget, a fraction of
£5,000, Ilana. That's less than $3,000.
My friend is just so excited about it and the miniatures. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, Darren. Good job.
And it's been made with volunteers, both in terms of students who in film, media, volunteers from the RAF. I used to be in the Royal Air Force, and we worked together with them. We got a location sorted out. We built all the sets ourselves from egg boxes and carpet tubes and all that type of stuff. Very similar. In fact, we made spacesuits out of trash bins, out of rubbish bins. But once we'd finished and sprayed them, et cetera, you know, on the set, you know, it looked pretty awesome. We put little flashing lights because sci-fi, so you've got to have flashing lights, otherwise... You know, obviously it's not sci-fi, but we made it because as much as we'd like to have a budget of 10 million, 20 million, you know, that's just not going to happen. So we thought, well, that's not a problem. We're going to make it anyway. We're going to make this movie. A lot of people keep telling me, you know, whatever you do, make your film. Don't give up. Don't give up. We thought, well, that's what we're going to do. We've been making films for 20 years. We started off doing things like Star Wars spoofs and Batman spoofs and Baywatch, that type of thing. And eventually we got bored of that. And we thought, well, let's do something else. Let's make our own sci-fi. Let's do something original. And that's what we did. So The Drift, it's set 100 years from now, where mankind has won and lost the ability to travel faster than light. So everybody's stuck in space. So it's like post-apocalyptic on a galactic scale. And then this salvage vessel comes along and finds a dead ship, except that not everybody's dead. They're alive and they're very hungry.
I particularly liked the line that I believe your son actually uttered in the movie. He knows what he's doing most of the time.
Yeah.
Classic. He knows what he's doing most of the time. It's that uncertainty that can kill you. It's sad. So there we are, Ilana, when you're back in Los Angeles. So, I mean, I'll send you the link if you haven't already got it, but you can watch it online. And it is, as you can tell, I'm quite blown away by it. Very excited. Very excited.
It sounds like it has a bit of an alien vibe to it. Is that, am I on the right track with that, Dan?
Alien?
Sounds like it has a bit of an alien.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Well, I'm a fan of the sort of 70s and 80s science fiction in particular, and we kind of sort of blended all the bits that we love. So, yeah, there's a bit of alien, you know, walking through corridors, being chased. But we put in our own flavour in as well. But I think it's great to have a bit of what you know and then a bit of a surprise too. So it's not too unique, but still very scary. Mm-hmm.
There's even a graphic narrative as well. So great stuff. But Ilana, share with us. I know you're hopefully booked again for next week, but tell us what exactly you're doing in terms of this experience you're having as a philosopher and filmmaker who loves to kick in the Joshua Tree. What's happening there?
Sure. Yeah, well, we've got two films in development right now. So the script for the Ken Russell adaptation was delivered last week, and you know, so it's being read now. And as you know, there is a lot of waiting time. You have to wait for responses and development and gathering funding. So Brian and I have just started a completely new script altogether for spec, one that I will not be attached to direct. So we're just want to keep writing, and you know, it's the writing, it's the creative process for me that is like a bridge of faith to just keep going while you're waiting, because you know, filmmaking is such a collaborative medium. You're not on your own timeline. I mean, when I made Cylons, I was completely on my own timeline because it's just a one-person show, but now that it's not, there's a lot of surrender that has to happen in terms of the ultimate timeline, from you know, development, pre-production to production, and then the festival circuit or distribution. So it's long, you know, the arc of development is long, but it will end in production. So
and the celebrations will go long into the 21st century. Nick Elliott, ace photographer, any sort of questions you'd like to put briefly to Ilana at this stage? Because I sense from what we were talking about in your own creative process as a photographer, and Ilana started off as a photographer, of course, you might have one or two common themes here in terms of art and such like.
Possibly. I didn't know that you started off as a photographer, Ilana.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
There we are. You see, and that's the kind of incisive interviewing that the Midweek Ride brings you at 22 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock on a fabulous Wednesday.
Well, you know, I stopped, if you want. I mean, some of you already know, you know, I was trained to talk for my MFA, and after the events of 9/11, which I was, you know, in the lockdown zone when it happened, fortunately I didn't, you know, wasn't personally affected in terms of any loss, but I realized that I needed to step away from still photography and start filming in order to express what I needed to do to say. Stills weren't enough. So that was the transition, and you know, I haven't gone back since. I mean, I still photograph, but it's not my primary medium at this point.
Yes, it was 9/11, was it? They changed your format.
What's that?
It was 9/11 that changed your format from stills to moving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still using stills. I take photographs all the time and, you know, mediate a lot of experience that way. And just also is, you know, useful in terms of the creative process for visualizing and pre-visualizing in film. But, yeah, you know, there was just so much imagery at the time in 9/11 that I found pornographic in terms of, you know, showing towers on fire and falling and, you know, the suffering and the smoke, and it was just getting repeated over and over again. And I was like, well, how can I possibly add to this, you know, as a New Yorker, as a person of conscience, and, you know, as we headed into war? And so I needed to incorporate sound and dialogue and music in order to fully express what I felt was not being expressed. But this is also, you know, back when I was doing documentaries, now it's narrative features, mostly sci-fi. So.
Ilana, I can see now we can spend some time talking about that, and indeed kicking philosophers, which we will do so. But I'm going to ask Jessica to put those last two questions to you. Jessica, go for it, girl.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening? Well, for you this morning.
I have.
She missed the sunrise, but apart from that.
And I'm sorry, I can't.
Yes, you can ask that one.
Will we be hearing from you soon?
Absolutely. Yay. I'd love to. Love to be back. Yay!
There's too many complications.
So Emma, a couple of weeks ago, Cameron Tilbury brought us another treat insofar as musically speaking, he introduced Julie C. Myers to the show. And I think it's fair to say, Emma, we thought, yes, this is a lady who actually knows her difference with respect to quality music. As she says in her blog, pop music all sounds so similar to me today. And I suppose it's the same reason my parents used to tell me rock music all sounded the same to them. It's the root of the genre that does have a similar beat and number to it and timbre to it. While there are several pop songs that I really like by people like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, most of it is a little too close to EDM or electronic dance music. Do you remember that, Jessica? And Emma? Well, vaguely. Anyway, we do remember it. In fact, actually, Nick, we featured Julie C. Myers on your last show.
Yes, you did.
And we spoke exactly about the curse that is EDM or electronic dance music.
Yes, we did.
Who do you think might be online now to actually talk to us about that in person?
Could it be this lady?
Julie C. Myers, are you there?
Hey, everybody!
Hey! So, Julie, whereabouts in the world are we reaching you today?
This morning, I am in lovely Winnipeg, Canada.
Ah, Canadian lass, you see. We've gone north of the border into sanity. Because let's face it, Julie, Canada gave the world Shane Rimmer, the voice of Scott Tracy, William Shatner, the Captain Kirk, and, of course, many other fine folk as well. So many.
And one is my husband. That's why I'm here.
One of them? Lovely.
I should have said one is as opposed to one of. But I don't know. Well, mate, I don't know. Whatever. Julie, we've just heard Destination Unknown. Talk to us about your life and times. And indeed, what's your view about electronic dance music?
Well, I seem maybe like I came across a little bit sterner than I meant to. I don't hate it. I don't have anything really too negative about it. I mean, it has its place, I think, in the music world as everything else does. I do feel like it's kind of taken over, and I feel that it's sad in a way for musicians, for live performers, for people like me that like to just, you know, get on the stage and perform. It's prohibiting that and making it tougher and tougher for us. And the other thing is, it's just a personal taste. I feel that it lacks soul. I feel that it lacks emotion. It's a good, steady beat to dance to, but, you know, I'm not getting any younger here, so I can only do that so long.
I just think, I mean, the classic line from this particular one, it's the cheap-out version of real music, and nobody wants to be cheap.
I so agree with that. I love that. Yes.
It works in every sense of the word. Listen, we've heard Destination Unknown. What do you think? I'll introduce you briefly to the team. We have filmmaker Darren Scales. We have a rock photographer extraordinaire, as in rock music, Nick Elliott, a publicist, Cat. We've also got Sue Royce, Jessica Ward, and Emma Tinson. Guys, should we listen to another piece of classic Julie C. Myers material? What do you think? Yes?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Julie, it's over to you. We can go for Hot Rod Heart or Can't Get My Heart Around. We're into, obviously, a heart cardiac theme here, which is good, obviously, Darren, for the thrills of the drift.
Yes. We've got to keep the heart going.
Which one would you like to put up for consideration, Julie?
Well, I think I'm going to go with Can't Get My Heart Around That, only because that was the first video we've released already. It's on YouTube, and it's a really nice video that was shot high quality. A guy from Nashville shot it for me, and so I'm pushing that song a little bit right now. I want to push all of them, and I'm so thrilled that you guys are playing more than just one or two. That makes me so happy. But let's let everybody listen to Can't Get My Heart, because also I think everybody can relate to this song.
Makes perfect sense. I'm even going to try and get the YouTube video up as well. Multitasking carried to ridiculous extremes.
Give us some time.
so slightly out of sync in time zones, but Darren, you've been perusing the video. Julie C. Myers there, still online. We hope all being well. I thought that was fantastic. What did you make of the video? And the tune, Can't Get My Heart Around That.
I really enjoyed it. It's proper drive time music for me. I can just imagine just going home listening to that, like a long straight highway or something, driving
at speed. So often in Lincolnshire, really.
Well, yeah, A50. Behind like a, you know, like some sort of awesome tracks or something,
in the way. Steep hill, long
street path. Yeah. You're not going to get your heart around that. Definitely not. So. And the video is looking really sweet as well. I really enjoying the video.
Thanks, you guys.
Well, we've got five other souls to actually sort of go through, Julie, so bear with us. You know, Darren might just be being nice. Let's go to our ace photographer, Nick Elliott, who's looking at the video. What do you think?
It's got a Nashville vibe going on, definitely. Nice, good track.
A Nashville vibe. Who was the young chap? Who was the young blonde chap who was featured in the early part of the shot, by the way?
That is actually the man and the woman are actually a married couple that are good friends of my husband and mine. And we asked them if they're just really an attractive couple. And I thought they would look good on camera, and they've never done anything anywhere close to that before in their lives. So it was way out of their comfort zone. So I was proud of them for doing it, and I thought they did an excellent job.
I think it was outstanding. Sue Royce.
Actually, whilst I was watching the YouTube video, I'm really loving the costumes. They were great.
Good costume outfitter. Yeah. Very nice from that point of view. Now she's got some headphones so she can barely hear what's going on. Jessica Ward, what did you make of it?
I thought it was really good. You've got a really lovely voice. It's really smooth. And the music video is fantastic as well. It's very clear and good quality.
And smooth from our New Zealand correspondent. Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff. Kat?
Oh, I loved it. I was going to ask Julie a question, actually, of how long it took to actually film the video there.
I think it was about a 2-day shoot.
Yeah, sure.
About a day and a half. But we had, an excellent location, and people were just like helping us right and left, and we had people, just all local people from my small town I live in bringing us food and setting up water and coffee and tea. I mean, I didn't even ask these people. So it was a really, really a love effort on my community, my town that I live in. And I just was so thankful that I could use some local people in the video,
It's a way of putting Winnipeg on the global map, quite clearly.
It's already on the winter map, but we'll put it on the regular map.
Exactly. Emma.
Can I just compliment you on the lovely tone to your voice? I think it sounded really, really nice, and I love the guitar in the track as well. It was great.
How about that Hammond organ on that tune, guys?
Yeah, storming.
EDM, take that.
Do you know, I agree so much with those sentiments, but never mind. EDM, take the...
Okay, we're moving on. I know.
Just as... By the way, so obviously, we're not referring to the band Take That. It was as in electronic dance music.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I got that. I know. My ears didn't prick up at that. No,
it's an important thing. I think a round of applause for Julie C. Myers. Fantastic stuff there. Well done.
Yay.
And I can see... Darren, from your own point of view, when you were making your movie over 5 years, did people bring you sandwiches as well?
Well, yeah, exactly. It was fantastic to hear this big, super duper music video being made, and a lot of it is so similar to the way that we do, which is, everybody helps, community spirit, and I think it actually makes your product look better. You can see it in the energy and what's being delivered on the screen, because everybody's feeling good. You smile.
You feel the love, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was awesome.
So thanks.
It's a win-win situation every sense of the word, and we'll actually go to the news with another Julie C. Myers number. We'll keep the heart thing going. Julie, two final questions for your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with the Midweek Drive today? Has it been good for you?
I had a fantastic time, and y'all can call me back anytime.
Well, I'm the arse. A consummate professional. Fantastic.